This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are worried that Kim Jong-un is getting something for nothing, which is fine for him, but not fine for the safety of the citizens of the United States. The bottom line is this. What the United States has gained is vague and unverifiable. What North Korea has gained is tangible and lasting.
I feel really great.
Yep.
We're going to have a great discussion, and I think tremendous success. They've been tremendously successful. And it's my honor, and we will have a terrific relationship.
All right, so you heard Chuck Schumer, the longtime senator, Democratic senator from New York, first saying that it was unverifiable things that happened at the summit. Then Trump, the president, talking about what kind of relationship he foresees down the road. And that's where we start. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Whether you're into politics, don't care about politics, or you find yourself fascinated by all of this, I think it is the buzz in the land. I like to say America Tonight, whether we're talking about politics, sports, business, or whatever comes out of this crazy head of mine, I think the common denominator, without a doubt, part of it, part of the conversation, whether it's my 16-year-old nephew or it is my friends in the neighborhood or your friends in the neighborhood, people are talking about the summit, that it's crazy because, remember, the president was calling him Rocket Man and all that other sort of stuff. And so it was historic. It did deserve that. It did deserve the words historic because no other president ever had a meeting with the Kim Jong-un, of course, or his father. So this is a big deal, especially thinking of 6 months ago when we felt like the U.S. and North Korea might have had a war because of the president's fire and fury comments and Kim's nuclear test shoving it right in our face and the conversation about, do you think the nukes could reach California? Where can they reach? I mean, it was scary. I know people that were really concerned about it, and I was concerned about it, frankly. I know you were. So there are definitely people that are talking about the moments of this summit. Where does it mean? Where do they go? And you heard the president say a relationship. So I think if this relationship develops, that's the thing. Having the ability to get things done. The White House used this summit to frame the president as a daring peacemaker because you got these midterm elections coming up. The crazy atmosphere in Singapore might have kept Robert Mueller's special counsel investigation, some people say anyway, off of people's minds for at least a few days. But this, no matter where you fall on the political spectrum, this was a huge meeting. The fact that they had a meeting was huge. And I don't know. So if I'm Kim Jong-un, of course I do this. The economic sanctions that are strangling his country, it makes sense. Pyongyang has created kind of a cult-like personality of Kim Jong-un. And for sure. And the thing is that you never really thought that North Korea, you know, I mean, I had him on my hit list of the Filthy Five, people that we just didn't want to have to deal with because they were so bloody dangerous. And if somebody was going to press a crazy button, this would be a guy who would press the crazy button. But maybe we actually get him to not do that. I mean, denuclearization, is that really a possibility? It's the bottom line is Pyongyang has to get rid of the nukes. The North Koreans say it's the disappearance of the Americans' nuclear umbrella protecting South Korea. So that would have to go, I guess, if the nukes go in North Korea. Of course, that makes sense. But the father and the son and the grandson have not had these, you know, they have not had these conversations. And North Korea is believed to have a nuclear arsenal of about 20 to 60 weapons, and they're close to putting a device on top of an intercontinental ballistic missile, an ICBM, that could hit the United States, and that's worrisome. So whatever the broad declarations were, it doesn't matter to me, actually, on this. What matters is that there is this conversation, and perhaps this goes further. This is very significant. And this is what's interesting. Kim apparently came away with a little bit of a gift from Trump. It wasn't a blue box from Tiffany's. But the idea that in Seoul, his allies in Seoul and his own military, by calling, you know, he came up with this gift that Trump shocked his allies in Seoul and his own military by calling a halt to U.S.-South Korean military exercises, about which Pyongyang has fumed. They hate those exercises. He said they were provocative and adopted North Korea's rhetoric and said, let's cancel them for as long as the dialogue is working. Let's save some money. So that's not happening. I mean, so they're not doing the exercises anymore. Interesting, isn't it? So what's next? What happens in the next couple of months will decide whether the summit comes to be seen as a true breakthrough moment or perhaps a low point of American diplomacy. So I don't know. I hate using the words I don't know, the don'ts, but there's no doubt it was historic. And there's no doubt that the buzz or the conversation is, some of it does center around this meeting, of course. So the takeaways, it matters. What happened, what didn't happen? Well, we know some of what happened, which was so huge, was the fact that they even just met, right? They met. And just the meeting itself is truly significant. But where it goes, especially, it's interesting because now we have this weird relationship going on with Canada. But at the same time, now we have this kind of warm and fuzzy, for at least a moment, relationship. I shouldn't say warm and fuzzy, but decent, thawed with North Korea. By the way, there are a couple of other things that are pretty big that will affect you and affect me. In fact, it'll affect one thing we hate to be affected by, and that's mergers. A federal judge approved AT&T's $85 billion purchase of Time Warner on Tuesday while we were focused on Singapore, handling and handing the telecom giant a massive win that could really tie the hands of regulators. And these big corporate mergers could become more a thing of the future. This was a big antitrust trial and kind of a bellwether. It is a bellwether. Think of this. Comcast has a potential bid for 21st Century Fox. CBS is thinking of Aetna. What's next? And we'll end up paying because of the merger. We will. We'll end up paying some big bucks once the control switches, because it means you're going to have to pay more for television shows and whatever else it is you're ordering.
Hey, folks. Tom D. for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
ProPure Gravity Water Filters. Most tested, most trusted. The Pro 1 G2.0 filter by ProPure fits most gravity systems and is so easy to set up and use. No priming required. Independent lab tested to NSF standards. Removes up to 200 plus contaminants with Pro 1 G2.0 full spectrum filter technology. ProPure Water Filters. When you don't know what's in your water, start enjoying great tasting water today. Visit an authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Time to interrupt the band. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know how we like to zig and zag in a few different directions. I call this quick hits, so I want to run through some quick hits like this. When I say quick hits, what are we reading about in the old-fashioned newspapers that are really .com now, let's face it. Every newspaper's online, so that means that's how you're getting some of your news anyway, if you look at some of the big rags, as they call them. So if we're to look at the Washington Times, for example, of course, what's on the front of the Washington Times? Trump promises new era of peace after complete denuclearization pledge. Then how about this? You've got the Fed's Social Security employee used dead people to steal $680,000. So you've got the employee and Arasti filed applications creating spouses for the dead people, claiming the spouses were still alive and deserving of survivor's benefits. She then used her Social Security credential to approve them herself. That's convenient. Routing the payments to her own bank accounts. Over 5 years, she pocketed over $680,000 in fraudulent payments. She got a 10-count indictment as a result. She worked at the Social Security's Aurora office. So she would take people and falsely claim in Social Security's records they were U.S. citizens who were at some point married to the dead people she identified. Nasty. That is bad stuff. Karma is a you-know-what. And it came back to bite her because that means jail time. Yeah, that $680,000 looked good in the beginning, but not now. I think that's the most fascinating thing to come out of the Washington Times. Why? Because in quick hits, I had no idea someone did that. Am I surprised that something like that happened? No. But you got to cover your tracks better than that because someone's going to check. And here's what I think. White-collar crime. This is what I think. Somehow they find the opening. They decide an opening, a few little baby steps, and then they're all the way in. And when they're all the way in and the money starts to flow, it's an addiction, and they don't get out of it quickly enough. And before you know it, bingo, bango, they're caught. And so she got caught in that web because she kept going back for more. And like I said, that means jail time. So the only thing she's going to be sporting around is not Jimmy Choo's shoes, but some white tennies and an orange outfit somewhere in a jumpsuit in a prison. And it won't be a cupcake prison. And that's a federal crime, so if she's prosecuted to the full extent, which she probably will be, that means you do every single nugget of that time. Just talk to our friend Bob Ney, the former congressman from Ohio, who joins us and talks about the 17 months he served in the Jack Abramoff scandal and how awful that was. Yeah. He wrote a book, by the way, called Sideswipe that is really, really fascinating. All right, if we went to Los Angeles to check some quick hits there and checked in with our pals in L.A., what are they talking about? Okay, they're talking about the House Republican leaders defeat the effort by moderates to force a vote on bipartisan legislation for Dreamers. So the House is going to vote next week on two Republican proposals that include money for Trump's proposed border wall. Where will that go? Question mark. Might go in the favor of the press. Congressman Mark Stanford, who's been on this show, lost the South Carolina primary after Trump calls him nothing but trouble. He was critical of him. And so what's interesting is he loses, and the opponent is a guy who was accused of domestic violence. So even that didn't help him. Pretty bad. So it didn't help that he didn't get the backing, I suppose. This is a sad story, and this is one that's in the LA Times, but it's all over the nation. And if you remember Bodie Miller, daring, amazing skier, U.S. alpine skier, who medaled in the Olympics, who was a meddler in his day in the Olympics, he unfortunately lost his frantic bid to save the life of his daughter. A woman asked an emergency dispatcher to coach her on how to perform CPR during a 911 call. She and others were struggling to save the life of Miller's daughter. She fell into a swimming pool. And at the beginning of the call, you can hear this, hurry, hurry. And then the male dispatcher is saying this 19-month-old girl fell into the backyard pool and isn't breathing and has no pulse. And they didn't know how long she had been in the water. They were trying to be coached on CPR. And she said, I need an oxygen machine here now. And they kept saying, come on, baby girl. And they were trying and trying and trying. Paramedics, once they got there, they tried to revive Emmeline Miller on the way to the hospital. But, what a sad, sad thing. And this was an Orange County Fire Authority. They released the 911 call. So they say there have been 13 drownings in Orange County so far this year. And now here's this very famous decorated male U.S. skier with 33 World Cup wins, 2 overall titles, 4 world championships, 6 Olympic gold medals, you get it, including a gold medal at the 2010 Vancouver Games. And, you know, I bet you his heart is just broken at 36. He lives in Cota de Casa, and it's sad. Swimming pools, you turn your head in a second, and then something happens like that. And since retiring from skiing, he worked at NBC as a sports analyst. His wife is a professional volleyball player, and he was just crazy about this daughter. And he and his wife have 3 older children, but he posted, to his credit, to Bodie Miller's credit, because, again, it has to be so rough, he posted a photograph of himself holding his daughter, along with the message, thank you for all the love and support, and said, never in a million years do we think we'd experience pain like this, and it was just one of those freak things. And I've told this story before on the air, but I had a cousin who was the same age as me when I was, we were growing up sort of together. When I was two, and our family had this big old house they'd rent at the Jersey Shore in a place called Wildwood Crest, and his name was Raymond Wilson, and I have lots of baby pictures of me and him together and in pools together and stuff, and we were down the shore. I was put to bed asleep, whatever, and he somehow snuck, and you think of this at two, snuck down the steps, these giant steps of this big house, got outside, and there was a bay right there where they had a dock, and he fell in the water and drowned. And they found him all the way, you know, on the other side of the world, practically on the beach. So what a terrible thing for my family, and everybody had to have swim lessons after that. But this is very sad when your child falls into a pool, and by the time you know or see, and it can happen very, very quickly, it's too late. And that's unfortunately what happened in this situation for him. And as somebody who is at the highest level, this incredible athlete, it must have been incredibly heartbreaking, as it would be for anyone. And it's interesting because there's always a lot of public service announcements, and they'll up them even more about how it can just happen to anyone. And before you know it, it's that it doesn't take a lot of time. It's that 1 or 10 or 5 or however many seconds, and then poof, someone's gone. You don't see it, and it's just too bloody late by the time that you do. So think about that with the summertime being here. Okay, so let's end on this one. As I said, traversing kind of all over the place. The New York Post is known for its silly headlines, and the stories that they pick sometimes is pretty interesting. And what they talk about, the buzz in the land, is this, that Roseanne, one of the headlines anyway, Roseanne's seriously considering foregoing profits from a potential spinoff, because I guess she has a contract that would allow for her to make money off of it because of what happened and the fact that the original show was done, you know, tanked because of her tweet, and the network pulled the plug on it. She's saying that she's willing to chunk back the money, which would be big for the people who work on that show. You know, she's seriously considering that because they canceled because of her racist tweets. Stay with us.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security, maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. When the summit was finished in Singapore between President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un,
we signed a very, very comprehensive document, and I believe he's going to live up to that document.
The document is just over one page. It states Kim Jong-un's firm and unwavering commitment to complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. But that term is not specifically defined in the document. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will work with his North Korean counterpart to set up the next round of negotiations at the earliest possible date. New York Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer says the Trump administration should take a tougher course on Pyongyang.
President Trump and his team must take stock of what's happened, what North Korea has achieved, what we have yet to achieve, and pursue again a tougher course.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Boy, this is going to be a lot of fun. Our next guest is a man who's touched on something that's so fascinating to me, and I know you're going to find it fascinating as well, especially as you listen to me over the years talk about my background, and his name is Bill Fortenbaugh, and he has written a book called From Beatons to Beach Haven. There's the hint. But I don't know that you'll understand what the book is about. If you look at the title, the subtitle is A Cat Ghost. There's another hint in what this is about. And I've talked about sailing on this show before and growing up with a little sunfish, but this is much bigger than a sunfish. Bill, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Good, good.
So tell us, I've mentioned the title of the book, obviously, and the subtitle. What is the title really telling us, the potential reader?
Well, that seems easy enough. The beginning of the title is From Beatons to Beach Haven, and that identifies the area in New Jersey. It's Barnegat Bay. Beatons is a boatyard that builds boats at the northern head of Barnegat Bay, and Beach Haven is at the southern end where the Little Egg Harbor Yacht Club is. And ACAT refers to a kind of boat that was built at Beatons Boatyard. It's 28 feet long, 47-foot mast, that's pretty tall, weighs 2 tons, and is raced with 8 people aboard.
Wow. And the stories that boat could tell, that's absolutely for sure. And in fact, this boatyard that you talked about where Ghost was built also was retired, right? Because there's a museum.
Well, the Beach Haven part is the museum. That's the New Jersey Maritime Museum, right near the Little Egg Harbor Yacht Club.
Yep.
And after 22 years of racing Ghost, the crew collapsed, the skipper collapsed, and we decided to donate the boat to the museum.
There you go. And so that's where you can see it. So it's interesting. I should back up and talk about your background. You are an author of a lot of scholarly books, let's say. And you sent me a review, and I looked this up, too, and it was fascinating. One of the reviews published on Amazon describes your book as fast-paced and hardly ever dull. That's high praise. So talk about what made you write this book and what it was like for you to go in this direction instead of what you would normally do.
Well, that is a good question. Well, I like to think of myself as a scholar who gets up every morning, reads a little Greek, perhaps a little German, and then gets on to Aristotle and writes scholarly books full of footnotes. But having sailed Ghost for 22 years and having seen it been built, I really fell in love with the idea of writing something very, very different. So I set out to write about this boat, and I realized somewhere along the line this isn't a scholarly book. I threw away all the footnotes and tried to write shorter sentences, and I think it worked out pretty well. At least that's what the reviews in Amazon say, and it was a joy to write. It's just that simple.
Right, as you say, a joy to write because you lived it. You mentioned for 22 years you were aboard Ghost. You were aboard the boat. So that means you have some sailing acumen. And what was sailing like for you? What did it mean to you?
It's one of my earliest activities, which I've carried into later life. I got my first boat at the age of 8, and it was a wooden boat, 12 feet long. We call them duck boats. They were originally duck hunting boats. And then I moved up to a 15-foot boat, and then to a 18-foot boat, all of them wooden, and so on as I got older. And in the middle years, I didn't do much sailing because I was trying to cut a career in academia. But in any case, I started sailing early, and I still love the sport. And I wanted to write about it, so I did.
You know, having started at 8 years old and sailing meaning so much to you for your life, certainly you raced in regattas, sailboat races, for people listening. And, you know, there's people on board with you and there's people that you want to go after or you want to beat. So there's some rivalries in sailing. Talk about that.
Well, that's an understatement. Racing is a matter of, well, racing sailboats anyway. You can always go out for a pleasure sail and drag your hand in the water, but that was never part of our nature. And the ACAT fleet in my time there became very competitive to the point where the boat builders were proceeding in secret and the owners were adding to their boats in secret. And they've developed an arms race, I like to say. Let me give you just one example. In the second year that we were in the class, the first year we had dominated, and people obviously wanted to do things to their boats to go faster. And one of the competitors removed the wire stays, or at least partially, and put in a synthetic material named Spectra. And Spectra is much lighter than wire. And when I discovered that at the beginning of the season, I was outraged. I didn't know you should do that. I was new to the class at that point. So I phoned up the builder, and the builder's a very nice chap in Philadelphia. And he said to me, "Bill, you're forgetting that this is a development class. There are certain rules, the length of the boat and the width of the boat. But after that, everybody can make changes as they see fit." And he was right. So I politely said, okay, and went silent. But the next year, I got Spectra on my boat as well.
That's good. So once you have that on your boat, how many championships did you win when you were sailing?
Well, you're referring to Ghost, I hope.
Yes.
If you start at the age of 8, you
yes.
may have any number of champions, some of which were against people who could hardly sail. But forgetting that, that's not when you get in a boat like Ghost at 28 feet long and a 47-foot mast. But we won the first 7 bay championships we were in.
Wow.
And then deterioration set in. But along the way, it wasn't always easy. And to pick up and try and tie together winning a championship with rivalry, let me tell you the story of the rivalry between Vapor and Ghost. When we launched Ghost, we had a cell celebratory launching, broke a bottle of beer on the bow to celebrate it. And the skipper of Vapor grabbed the microphone away from me in the course of the launching and said he was very pleased to be at the launching because this was the last time he'd see the transom of Ghost. Now, the transom is the rear of the boat, and what he was saying was he'd never be behind us to see the rear of the boat. Well, he was hoping, I think, that I would grab the microphone back, but I didn't grab it back. I didn't take the bait. I said absolutely nothing in reply. I decided to let sailing decide the issue. And the first year, we had some troubles, but we won 7 of 8 races and won the Bay Championship, and I think the chap was a little unhappy about that. But the second year, he was doing much better. And the third year, we went into the last race tied even. So whoever won that race was going to win the championship. And I got a rather poor start, my own fault. I hadn't focused hard. And I realized that we were 2 boat lengths behind this man, and we better do something to clear the air. So I tacked quickly off going south, and for some reason, he didn't cover. He didn't hold on to his advantage. And 15 minutes later, when we reached the weather mark, we could tack back the other way, cross his bow, and get around first and never let him get in. So that's the kind of rivalry. It can be quite intense, or if you have done well in every race early on, it can be rather relaxing. But we had our tense moments, and I'm pleased to say for 7 years we did just fine.
I love that. We're speaking with Bill Fortenbaugh, and of course the book is From Beatons to Beach Haven. What do you want people to take away from reading your book?
Oh, well, let me name two. One is that we had a great deal of fun when we could on the boat. And we made the Rheingold song our fight song. Now, if you're my age, you'll know that Rheingold was the largest beer on the East Coast back in the 50s and 60s. And they had a wonderful jingle. My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Think of Rheingold whenever you buy beer. And on it goes. And when we would win and at award ceremonies, we would sing this song. But the seventh year, some chap from another yacht club, I won't name him, he obviously had no sense of humor at all, and he wrote a letter of protest to the regatta committee and said, that has to stop, there are young children in the audience. So the regatta committee should have just told him to lighten up, failed to do so, and so we could not sing the song. And what they didn't realize, this chap didn't realize, nor the regatta committee, that by singing the Rheingold song, we were actually raising the level, because the Rheingold song is sung to a German waltz written in 1883, and that's pretty good for a sailboat award ceremony.
Mm-hmm. That's a great story. Rheingold, I'm familiar with that. The jingle, that was great. You did a great rendition of that.
I hardly have a voice this morning. Oh, but the other thing I wanted to say about the book, it wasn't just having fun. The other thing I think I wanted to say was the impression I wanted to give with great emphasis that I was so impressed with the people at Beaton's Boatyard. I mean, they are the finest group of men I know, and they build with care. And we record the building of the boat from the lane of the keel, which was 26 feet long, and right through to the putting the mast up. So I wanted people to get a sense of just how perfect that boatyard is, what craftsmen they are. And then in the course of describing the races and one thing or another, I tried to convey the idea that some of the time we were thinking hard and sailing very well. That isn't to say we didn't sail poorly sometimes. We certainly did. But in any event, it was a book to some extent about excellence. And I'm pleased to say the boat is still on display at the museum. If you want to see a well-built boat, go there. So one or two people have told me there's an inspirational side, namely excellence, to this book. I hope it's true, but I didn't start out to write anything that would be inspirational. The Rheingold song isn't inspirational, it's just plain fun.
Perfect place to end this, and I hope people pick up the book for sure. You can do that. Amazon, of course, the usual channels. Bill Fortenbaugh, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Well, you're nice to have had me. I enjoyed it.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go?
The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
If you or anyone you love has been diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, your diagnosis may be the result of job-related exposure to asbestos, and you may be entitled to compensation. Over $30 billion in trusts have been set aside for individuals who have been affected by asbestos exposure. How do you protect your rights and get the compensation you deserve? Call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. Capital Legal Group is one of the nation's resources for settlement of lung cancer and mesothelioma cases. Law firms have successfully recovered over $2.7 billion dollars for their clients in all 50 states, and claims have been paid in as little as 60 days. If you or a family member were diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. We'll open a no-cost case review on your behalf. A history of tobacco use or cigarette smoking will not disqualify your case. Visit 800-400-LUNG.com or call 800-400-LUNG. Call 800-400-5864 now. That's 800-400-LUNG.
Now, Julian Assange keeps threatening that he's got some amazing amount of damaging information about Hillary Clinton that's going to be floated right before the election. So who better to join us on ATN than Michael Dougherty? He's a senior writer for Cyber Defense Magazine. He's a board member at Snoop Wall. I mean, his credentials would take us half an hour to go through. And he's written this great book that you need to pick up, The Devil Inside the Beltway, The Shocking Exposé of the U.S. Government Surveillance and Overreach into Cybersecurity, Medicine, and Small Business. Michael, always fun to have you on the show.
Good to be here. I'm Kate.
So, Julian Assange, what's he got on Hillary Clinton? What do you think the deal is there?
Well, first of all, when they put a bag over your head, and it's like we should be playing Carly Simon's song, Anticipation. Everyone's guessing. Everyone's waiting. And all you can look at is like the statistical odds. Because if here's a guy who has so much power and credibility because he comes through with what he says he's going to come through. So I hang my head on that. At the same time, he probably, and this is my guess, is getting a bunch of pressure about don't look like you're helping Trump and trying to destroy Hillary, and the 10th anniversary was one thing, and he wants to string out the attention. I mean, this is a vigilante journalist. His whole thing is attention, so he's trying to steal the spotlight so he can raise money and raise importance, but he better come up with the goods. Now, he says he's got stuff on the government. He says he's got stuff on cybersecurity. He's got all this stuff. He doesn't say, I'm going to destroy Hillary Clinton. Those are the Trump people saying, I'm going to destroy Hillary Clinton.
Right.
I'm a little surprised he still didn't have it a couple days ago. But he says he's dropping something this week. And I am not going to. And he says he's going to drop something. Got about, I think, about 100,000 files at least.
Wow.
There's a million files, I think. And it's before the election's up. So he's going to string this through. And this type of narrative, I can't help Hillary. It can't help her. So, you know, because it's all going to focus on the government status quo communications. And she was there the entire time. So it's going to be very interesting as far as when he's going to drop. But, you know, he needs to get on with it.
He does need to get on with it. I mean, this is like the boy who cried wolf, for goodness sake. If he doesn't, if there's not a payoff, like you said, I mean, it's ridiculous because he's been dragging this out for a while now. And you're right. He mentions Clinton, but the people who have really inflated it even more are guys like Roger Stone, who, as you know, was the former right-hand guy for Donald Trump's campaign. And he's the guy who's saying that these revelations will absolutely implode on Hillary Clinton's campaign. And like you said, it's not going to do them much good because they have to sit here and dance around it. But they're used to doing that. They had to do that with half of the issues that have hit her squarely in the head. I say the Clintons are like Teflon. What's up with that?
Well, that's because if you read Solinsky's, you know, Rules for Radicals, part of group control is numbing them. I mean, it's like, you know, we have, what have we seen if you're an observer? We've seen scandal after scandal after scandal. We've seen no accountability. So what does that do if you're someone outside the power grid and you're just living your life as an American, which is most of us? Well, you think, what can I do? You feel deflated. You feel frustrated. You feel if you get all upset, what's the point? So people get numb and dumb. And, you know, I hope that doesn't continue. You know, and they justify things. People purchase on emotion, and they justify with facts. So hopefully they're going to stay angry and go to the polls and vote for Trump. But, you know, it is going to be interesting to see. It's going to be tight. It's going to be close. I mean, you know, I still, what's ironic about this is I really do believe this is Trump's to lose. And if he has another debate performance where he leaves all the food on the table, then there's going to be a problem. No one really wants Trump to run around acting like a 3-year-old, you know, yelling names and being that kind of jerk.
Right.
But when tennis balls are thrown up, they're easy hits by Hillary during a debate, you're supposed to hit them. And for someone that is saying, you know, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, I would have fired him on that performance. He needs to show, but it's the first one, and he is
right.
I mean, we really know what he needs to do. He needs to turn it around. I mean, everyone wants to see him turn it around in a clear, effective, on the balls of your feet manner, and put her on her heels in a factual manner, not a name calling temper tantrum manner. He does that, we're back in business.
All right, so that's how he has to answer in this second debate, which is coming up Sunday. To me, I said this all along, Michael, that everything really kind of hangs in the balance with these debates because it's must-see TV, to steal a phrase from NBC back in the day, that people are just glued to this. They can't get enough of the show of the one-on-one, and we've got two more of these, and I think this could be make or break for either one of them, actually.
No, I agree, and this is where Assange is so important, because if he's got, I mean, this government has evolved so much over the past century that they all know how to keep bags over everyone's head. And it's sad to say we have to have an activist journalist who's working with hackers that's hacking their computers from overseas to inform the public what's going on, because you know the major media is not going to do it. So come on, Julian, we want to know what the truth is. Who doesn't? And that will fuel the debate.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I'd be remiss not to ask you this since you're here. On another note, what's going on with Yahoo and the information that they were willing to dump out to whatever agency? This was your expertise, because we don't really know who it is. We have some ideas, but they just, Marissa Mayer, who runs Yahoo, lost two people that were high up in her ranks because they refused to comply with what she was going to do with the government. But apparently more of this spying on people who were Yahoo subscribers.
Well, this is the peak argument of this isn't even Yahoo. The peak argument is, hey, we're the NSA and we want to see everything and just trust us because we're just trying to get the criminals. And then the tech companies are going, have a decision to make, yay or nay. And so I'm sure she's made herself very unpopular with people in Silicon Valley. And it's tough when you're the CEO, you also have to look in the mirror and go, how do I look in orange stripes, black stripes, you know, what do I look?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, and then you've got the law, and then you've got the hassle index. And, you know, it is a tough decision given the current quagmire of the law right now. And it is a tough decision because if we're not going to trust the government, and look, the government's never going to be perfect. But what's our choice? To protect ourselves. So it's not an easy answer. And, you know, it's the price we want to pay. These people that want to hurt us want to infiltrate through back doors and foundationally and play dirty. And, you know, we are at a very tough decision-making time. And it's interesting when all the facts are laid out, you find Democrats that are voting for the NSA. So it's hard because we don't have all the facts.
Yeah.
You know, the public never gets all the facts.
Yeah. So how do you bridge that gap of, I guess you can't. It just has to be because you can't release all the info.
Well, I think you build more trust in government by showing the public that when someone does something wrong, they're going to get punished. And that's the problem. We're not showing that. Lois Lerner is on, you know, permanent vacation. We're paying for it. And, you know, and if you go after a bureaucrat, we get to pay their law firm out of our money over $1,000 an hour. And they all drag it out for years. And look at Hillary Clinton. So when there's no accountability within the government, then people are afraid to give the NSA everything. Because you get people like Hillary or Obama who then make all the agencies give them the information so they can go after their enemies. That's the problem. And if the public doesn't wake up to that, that is what they should, that's the direct attack right there. And it's going to be up to the public to do it, right? Because people in democracies, I mean, they don't eat their own, you know, and that's where we have to wake up. And that's why I wish Donald would just put his total professional sharp as attack hat on the next month. And because this whole infrastructure of really thinking of the American public as them and the bureaucrats as us, it's got to stop.
Yeah, boy, that's such an interesting take. And you know, because you were in the middle of this, that you're right. It is us and them. No matter where you are, whether you're conservative, whether you're liberal, whether you're somewhere in between, whether you're no label, it doesn't matter. I mean, it is us and them, them and us. It's crazy. It's like sports, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, you look at all the cronies inside D.C. that are going for Hillary now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and, oh, he'll do this or that. I'm like, you know, I don't know how I could endorse her. I could endorse nobody,
right.
But I couldn't endorse her. I mean, if your concern is all that, because it's just more of the same. And, you know, we keep kicking the can down the road, and I don't know what shape America is going to be in when we finally get a chance to repair it.
Yeah, well said. Michael Dougherty, always fun to catch up with you. Thank you so much. Again, you can pick up his book, The Devil Inside the Beltway, the shocking expose of the U.S. government surveillance and overreach into cybersecurity, medicine, and small business. Thanks, Michael.
Good talking to Kate. Take care.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.